Investment flash.
$700 billion, buddy. For real. That is the number being thrown around for this new US-Korea AI semiconductor alliance, and it is absolutely massive.
Wait a second, Tom. Let's get the housekeeping out of the way before you start spending hundreds of billions of other people's money. It is July 26th, 2026, and this is the weekend edition of Investment Flash. I am Marie, joined by Tom and Gerald.
Yeah, look, housekeeping is fine, but Tom is right to be staring at that number. 700 billion between Samsung, SK Hynix, and Nvidia to basically rebuild the global chip supply chain? Honestly, the Financial Times was hinting at this 3 days ago, but seeing the actual government-backed scale of it is something else.
No way, Gerald. Seeing Nvidia at a forward price-to-earnings ratio of only 16 while participating in a deal this big is just wild. We are talking about a 10% gain year-to-date for Nvidia, which sounds modest, but the semiconductor ETF is up 76%. The momentum is just relentless.
Look, I am going to push back here. It is not just about the momentum. This is a structural reshuffle of where chips are actually made. When you see Samsung and SK Hynix getting this close to the US Nvidia orbit, you are seeing a geopolitical wall being built. It's bullish for the companies, sure, but the regulatory complexity is going to be a nightmare.
Fair enough, Marie, but the market does not care about complexity when there is that much capital flowing. Samsung and SK Hynix are the clear winners here on the memory side. SK Hynix is basically the only one keeping up with Nvidia's high bandwidth memory needs right now.
Exactly.
100%.
That's the whole story.
See, this is what I mean. The scale is just drowning out every other story. But Gerald, I know you were looking at what is happening in the Gulf. Is that where the value hunters are hiding?
The thing is, while everyone is watching chips, Blackstone and KKR just dropped $16 billion on Kuwaiti pipelines. It is the largest foreign investment in Kuwait ever. Honestly, it is a classic private equity play. Geopolitical tension forces an asset sale, and the big Western firms swoop in for the yield.
Hold on. $16 billion for pipelines in a region that is currently a geopolitical tinderbox? Blackstone is up over 4% in the last session, but it is still down 22% year to date. Are they trying to buy their way back into the market's good graces?
Look, mate, Blackstone is still 32% below its 52-week high. These infrastructure deals are boring, but they are predictable cash flows. In a world where tech multiples are sky high, $16 billion in real steel and oil flow looks like a bargain to people like Steve Schwarzman.
Oh, come on, Gerald. Boring? It is a huge infrastructure win. Even Brookfield got in on the action. It shows that even if the world is messy, the big money still wants exposure to energy logistics. It is a massive turnaround signal for Blackstone.
Not so fast. We have to talk about the earnings calls coming up. Morgan Stanley just released a massive buy list before the reports hit. They're telling people to jump into Alibaba, Grab, and even Apple. Tom, you are usually the Apple bull. What do you think?
For real? I love it. Morgan Stanley is calling Alibaba too compelling to ignore, even though it's down 27% year to date. And Grab? They are looking for 22% revenue growth. If the cloud numbers for Alibaba look good, that stock is going to fly.
Analysts telling people to buy before it is too late is basically the industry's favorite way of saying they missed the bottom and need to justify their price targets. Honestly, Alibaba has been a compelling buy for 3 years, and it's mostly just been a compelling way to lose money.
Yeah, that is brutal, Gerald. But you're not wrong. But look at Natera. That's a healthcare pick they added. It's up 16% year to date and riding real momentum in oncology. It's not all just bottom fishing in China.
Wait a second. Did you guys see the Amazon and Vertiv numbers? Amazon's earnings per share estimates have surged over 400% in the last 90 days. 400%. And the stock is basically flat for the year. That catch-up trade is going to be legendary.
Right. And that's the problem.
Virtus estimates are up nearly 400% as well, but that stock is already up 73% this year. It's trading at a forward price-to-earnings ratio of about 33. There is absolutely zero room for error there. If they miss by a penny, the elevator goes down very fast.
See, this is what I mean about the expectations being priced in. Amazon being flat while estimates quadruple is a weird signal, though. It suggests the market is terrified that cloud growth isn't enough to offset the retail margins. I'm going to be watching that print on Thursday very closely.
Oh, it's going to beat. Jeff Bezos might not be running the show day to day, but that AWS machine is just a monster. Gerald, don't tell me you're bearish on Amazon too.
I'm not bearish on the company, Tom. I'm just allergic to paying 33 times earnings for infrastructure companies like Vertiv just because they sell cooling fans to Nvidia. It's like buying a gold mine because you heard they have a very nice gift shop.
Poof. Okay, that's fair. But speaking of things going down, what is happening with the Trump trade? The industrials and energy stocks were supposed to be the big winners there, but Bloomberg is saying the flows are totally fading.
Honestly, this is the most interesting macro shift this week. The Industrials Exchange Traded Fund, ticker XLI, is near its highs, but the momentum is gone. The deregulation narrative that everyone was betting on is starting to look crowded and tired. People are taking profits and moving back into tech.
The energy sector is even worse. Ticker XLE is up 30% year to date, but it's losing steam fast. It turns out that drill, baby, drill is actually bad for oil prices, which is bad for oil stocks. Who would have thought that basic supply and demand still applied in an election year?
Right.
Totally.
That's it.
But wait, did you see the Robinhood news? The real-world asset tokenization just jumped fivefold in 2 weeks. We are talking $70 million in tokenized stocks like GameStop and Nvidia trading on their own chain. This is the future of trading, buddy.
I'm gonna push back here. $70 million is a rounding error for Robinhood. The stock dropped 6.6% in the last session, and it's down 12% for the year. The market clearly doesn't think tokenized GameStop is the catalyst that saves the quarterly report.
Yeah, look, tokenization is the buzzword of the month. But if it doesn't move the bottom line, it's just a tech experiment. Although, to be fair, the real story in the crypto space is what's happening with Chinese AI stocks. Did you see that note about perpetual futures?
No, what happened?
This is wild. Investors are using crypto exchanges to trade perpetual futures on Chinese AI companies to get around the foreign ownership restrictions. It is a massive regulatory gray zone. They are basically building a backdoor into the Chinese tech market using crypto.
It's clever, honestly. Using a decentralized shadow market to bet on state-sanctioned AI leaders, it is the most original way to get exposure I've seen in a long time. But man, the regulatory hammer is going to come down so hard on that once the Beijing authorities catch wind of the scale.
Gerald, you always find the hammer. Can we just for 1 second appreciate the ingenuity? People want AI exposure so badly, they are using crypto derivatives to hop over the Great Firewall. That is a massive signal for how much demand there is.
All right. But let's look at the big picture for a second. Our view today is that the market is basically addicted to the AI infrastructure narrative. Between the $700 billion US-Korea deal and these massive estimate revisions for Amazon and Vertiv, the tech is king trade is being reinforced every single day.
Right, but the flip side is that the Trump trade in industrials and energy is cooling off. The dispersion is the real story. You want to be long the chip makers and short the old school industrials. It's a momentum rotation, plain and simple.
Wait a second, though. We have to talk about what's not being said. The bond market is being completely ignored by the press right now. The investment-grade corporate bond ETF is sitting at its 52-week low. High-yield bonds are barely above theirs. Big tech is issuing record amounts of debt to fund these AI chips. But the credit spreads are starting to look a bit nervous.
No way, Marie. If the companies are printing money, why does the bond market matter? Apple and Microsoft have more cash than most countries.
Honestly, Tom, that's exactly what people said in 2007. I'm not saying we're there, but equity exuberance against bond market stress is a classic mismatch. If those credit spreads widen, it doesn't matter how many chips Nvidia sells, the cost of capital is going to bite everyone. It's the gap nobody is talking about because everyone is too busy staring at the $700 billion headline.
Exactly. And that is why we are here, to look at the gaps. As always, none of this is investment advice. We are just three people talking about the numbers, so you don't have to read the spreadsheets yourself.
Hey, speaking of reading, I actually read your pick from yesterday, Gerald. That short on China equities? It's looking pretty smart right now with all this regulatory uncertainty. Maybe you're not a perma-bear after all.
All right, don't get used to it. Even a broken clock is right twice a day, and even a value investor occasionally finds a trade that doesn't take 10 years to play out.
Huh, that's fair. If you're finding these daily deep dives helpful, do us a favor and hit follow on Spotify. It really helps the show. Or you can head over to investmentflash.com for the full digest with all the charts and the source articles we mentioned.
For real, the charts on the US-Korea deal are insane. You have to see the scale of the projected capacity. It's a wall of silicon.
Yeah, look, it's a lot of silicon, but let's see if the earnings actually back it up this week. We'll be here to pick up the pieces if they don't.
And on that note, we're out of here for the weekend. We'll be back for Monday's London edition at 7:30 a.m. London time. Have a great rest of the weekend, everyone.
See you Monday, buddy.
Cheers. See you then.